Yep, we are rolling. So yeah, I've got Ted Cunningham here with New Day Genetics. And Ted, just start off sharing a little bit about yourself and what you're doing with New Day.
Sure. Thanks for having me here, Austin. And yeah, I'm here in Salem, Missouri, in South Central kind of Missouri. Operate really a multifaceted beef enterprise where we do develop and market bulls for the New Day Genetics program. And so that's a program where we get bulls in at 45 days post-weaning, and then I develop those bulls all the way until the sale, and we only market 18 to 20 month old bulls. And we do that in a spring sale for our fall born bulls, and then we have another fall sale for our spring born bulls, if that makes sense. So growing and continuing to grow that program, and really involved and excited to see what we can do here as we move forward as well. And then we custom background cattle. So also do custom heifer development. We also develop our own heifers. We run right now around 50 or so mama cows, kind of a mix of registered cows and some commercial cows. So we kind of do just a little bit of everything. And so yeah, wife's a veterinarian, got three kids here, two boys and a little girl. So lots of fun here around the farm on most days.
A lot of good help, it sounds like.
Sure, absolutely. Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, let's just kind of start talking about the genetic testing technology that's out there. And you can go as in-depth as you feel comfortable. But really what I want to start off looking at is how has genetic testing impacted or changed the way that bull buyers choose seed stock?
Sure. I guess, I've been a part of the DNA genomics world kind of since its inception in terms of being involved in the business or the industry, and seen this really start from the perspective of genomically enhanced EPDs and some genetic testing, to now we have really specific genetic tools as well. But from at least, it started probably as much a benefit to our breeders. And, some of those tests initially were pretty costly. So they were able to use some of these DNA tests and genomically enhanced EPDs to help them more quickly identify the better genetics, more quickly advance their programs. And then really, New Day Genetics, we pretty much mandated, I think it's been either 4 or 5 years ago, that every bull that sells through our sale will carry genomically enhanced EPDs, which basically means these breeders that participate in our program, they turn in a DNA sample. It goes through IGS, which basically they are going in and doing that testing to enhance that individual bull's EPDs, or in some cases lower them. So it's really a tool that we're able to find more true and accurate EPDs for each individual bull. And so I use that the example I try and tell customers and folks who aren't familiar with this. 20 years ago, if you flushed a cow and you had two, full siblings out of that cow, or I even use the example, you've got siblings, Austin, I've got siblings, we're out of the same parents, and genetically we are very similar. But even within our parents' DNA, it changes some of the genetics for the individual. And so that's what genomically enhanced, I think, EPDs have done, is they've allowed us to go dive into the animal's true genetic merit for certain traits, and really pull out differences and help us understand, even though they may be full sibs, one may be really a better bull for growth than his counter sibling there, or maybe somebody's a little bit better for calving. So there's some differences that change within those numbers, and that's really reflected. It's a change in the numbers, but then it's also an improvement in the accuracy of those EPDs ultimately. So I tell folks, if you're buying a bull that has genomically enhanced EPDs, that would be the equivalent of a bull having about 15 to 20 progeny records for things like weaning weight and calving ease. Gives you so much more confidence than it used to be whenever you bought a yearling bull or an 18-month-old bull. He didn't have genomically enhanced EPDs. You had this much bigger bell curve, whereas we're tightening that bell curve and getting a lot more confidence around what that bull's true EPD profile is. So hope that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, I'm curious how much you can speak to What's the best word to put this? The intensity of data. So you mentioned there that previously, 15 progeny records. So are we saying that's 15 calves, 15 calf crops? What out how much progeny does that include to provide that same level of data?
Sure. For some of those more heritable traits and things like weaning, and the growth and carcass merit, the carcass based EPDs. So yeah, that would be the equivalent. Just imagine if you didn't buy a bull that had genomically enhanced EPDs, if you didn't buy him and you brought him home, you would have to breed that bull and turn in the data on 15 of his offspring to get an accuracy level that would be comparable, or maybe not as good as what we're able to get right out of the gate with a genomically enhanced EPD profile on a bull. So just such a powerful tool for improving the accuracy and really understanding of what that bull's true genetic merit is for some of these various EPDs.
So was that kind of a baseline given historic data collection, or how do we have we determined that the genomically enhanced has the accuracy of 15 of those calves all at once? Does that make sense?
Well, yeah, I'm not, and you're probably going to get deeper than I probably understand here, to be truthful, Austin. But, I think it really boils down to being able to understand these various markers and areas of association on the genome that these animals excel in or they don't excel in. And so, really, previous to genomics, yeah, we were using just true phenotypic data off of offspring to help move or change an animal's EPD profile or basically their genetic merit. And now we're able to move those needles a little bit with being able to understand that individual's true, not phenotype, but genotype and what is contained in that animal's DNA for some of these, for many of these traits that we're really interested in as beef producers.
Yeah, that makes sense. I was visiting with Nick Hammett this morning on this, and he referenced, the, like you said, the heritable traits, but then also the traits that are honestly environmentally dictated what the performance looks like. And this, as you just said, there is a good combination of what does the phenotype tell you and what does the performance tell you, but what does the genetic potential tell you in relation to those main areas, I think is the big key.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's important to realize that, this genomic, markers and all these things, I mean, the foundation for that, understanding all of that is phenotypic data, right? I mean, they found all that because we basically found populations of cattle that were excelling in growth or excelling in milk production or marbling. And we're able to compare those against animals who weren't excelling in various traits and basically look at that each of those populations' genetics and find those areas where, hey, these guys are good. They've got this area that's really positive on their genome. We can help use that to track and mark and identify animals that are better. That's kind of a, I mean, the way I think about it without getting too complex. It all goes back to phenotypic data collection of, ultimately. And once you have enough phenotypic data, you can start developing these tools.
Definitely. So now, is there any difference in genetic testing and genetically enhanced EPDs?
Sure. So, we talked mostly probably about genomic enhanced EPDs, which, from where I sit, and working with folks who are interested in bulls, that's one of the tools that we use. And of course, as I mentioned, we mandate, but there's other genetic tests, a whole host of tests. We do coat color, horn polled status. There's some genetic defect tests that are also run as some of these panels. And then I'm sure if you talk to Nick, that you probably heard him talk quite a bit about some other tests that are available now in commercial cow herds where we don't know anything about the animal's pedigree or perhaps have an idea or have a direction of breed, but a ton of different tests that are available to help even commercial producers identify those animals that are going to have better genetic merit for certain traits.
So kind of go along with that, what are the most common tests that you have seen, or sorry, that you have used on the New Day bulls, or that you've seen buyers look at when they're selecting bulls?
I think it's the 50K test is kind of the test that most of these bulls are going through. And then depending upon the pedigree and everything, most bulls are getting, and that gets you the genomically enhanced DPDs. But then of course we're doing the color, making sure that those bulls are what we think they are. That we used to do kind of color by pedigree, but we can do the genomics test for color, whether they're homozygous black, they're heterozygous black. And certainly the horn and pole gene the same way. So specific tests, the breeders are all doing those, and we have a minimum level. We've got to have genomically enhanced EPDs through the ASA Association. And then for the most part, things like color and polled horn status, they're doing those as well. And in some cases they don't have to, but they most of them would do at this point. I mean, it's just the difference in price between a homozygous black bull and an unknown black bull is really, really important, because if we don't have a genetic test to say he's homozygous black, I can't sell him. I can't guarantee somebody he's going to breed as a homozygous black bull. And so we, the breeders, everybody's on board, and it's really a powerful tool. But I'll mention too, Austin, I mean, we work with Allied Genetic Resources and on our bull sale, as many folks in the course of Simmental and other breeds are working with them. And they've got a company called Top Genomics. And this is a little bit different in that we use a separate genomic test that identifies bulls and basically places them into one of three categories. This is really geared for our bull customers, folks out here in the commercial world who are buying our bulls and, have some direction that they're wanting to head. Maybe they're wanting, they've got a cow herd, they're trying to keep some heifers, they want to optimize, steers. They're trying to do kind of an all-purpose scenario. And so we've got a logo for bulls who meet those qualifications genomically called G plus. It's basically accredited genomic plus. That's what I want to make sure I got that. We call it the G plus logo. Another one is the ATM logo, and that's an accredited terminal mate. And so that means you've got, if I have a customer and he says, I'm not keeping any heifers, I want to raise, cattle that are going to be really good in growth, they're going to have really good carcass merit, but I don't need any maternal stuff. That eight bulls that carry that ATM logo, they can rest assured that they're going to kind of breed and accomplish those types of goals. The third and last one that is the logo that's part of this Right Mate program is called the ACE, ACE logo, and that's accredited calving ease. That's a really, really good one too, because guys who are looking for sleep all night heifer bulls, this is the logo you want. And it basically kind of is, again, going into that animal's genomics and finding anything that would cause, these extreme outlier large calves, things that, sometimes we have bulls that breed, their EPDs say they're good as a heifer bull, and they breed, and 90 or 95% of their calves are low birth weight, they calve easy, whatever. And then all of a sudden you've got one that maybe is a 90 or 100 pounder, and you've got some problems. And obviously the dam also contributes to that as well. It's not just the bull. I try and tell customers that as well, that it's both the bull, but it's also the genetics of the mother as well that contribute to calving these issues. Well, this basically, it identifies some of those genes that might be associated with some of those larger calves and gets that out of the gene pool. So you shouldn't have any of those concerns for kind of those outlier type cattle. So this has become a really popular tool. And the reason I think it's become popular and why it's really valuable for me anyway is, our bull sale is a lot like everybody else. I think we've got, 30 pieces of data associated with each individual catalog bull, plus some phenotypic data, birth weights, color, all of them. I mean, there's so much on each individual bull to study. And I think some people just really get overwhelmed and kind of lost in the weeds when it comes to trying to find bulls like get them in the right direction. And you know,
Right.
and especially, you know, without, it's pretty easy to sort up an Excel spreadsheet and say, here's the top three bulls for growth or whatever. But at the same time, if you look at the full genomic picture, if you're keeping daughters, you know, all of these things have become really important. So these three logos make it really simple. If someone says, I'm here, I'm interested. We run 150 cows. We keep our daughters. We wean our calves and keep them till they're yearlings. You know, whatever that scenario might be, that G plus, that's a great area for them to go if they're keeping daughters. And as Marty Ropp would say, he said, you know, it's pretty simple. Just go through the catalog, circle bulls with a G plus that maybe have the right calving ease for your scenario, maybe have the right milk production for your scenario. But make some circles and then go look at the bulls and just buy the ones you like because they're going to
Yeah.
get you in the right direction. And I love that approach. I oftentimes just work with folks and it's fun, but some of our customers get really, really upset or lost a little bit in some of this
Right.
data. And it shouldn't be that complicated. So I think that's a really good tool. I think we see more and more tools like that develop that really just declutter the world of bull buying.
Absolutely. And it's such in line with what I was talking with Nick about, and how do you combine all the data? And I think as much as producers can have a simple system that allows them to categorize what the data means, what the information is, compare that to the phenotype, you're silly to not use those resources, especially if you have a specific goal and need in mind, because we can look at all the numbers. You can look at all the phenotypes, but finding the bull that combines what you need can be a real challenge if you don't know how to filter everything else out.
It is. It absolutely is. Yeah. And you probably come from it, you know, your thought process may be like mine. We've been around EPDs and maybe have a little bit more of a breeder mentality when it comes to selecting bulls. But you know, a lot of our commercial guys, these larger, or especially larger commercial guys, they can't get in the weeds too deep if they're having to buy lots of bulls. They're probably needing to just stay in that realm of like a G plus or these are my terminal bulls or whatever
Yeah.
it is. And again, walk through the bulls and pick the ones that you like, the ones that are good structure, the ones that are a little stouter, who maybe a little more moderate, a little bit taller frame, whatever it might be. You know, find those bulls that fit what you like in terms of phenotype, and rest assured that genetically the bulls are going to get you in the right direction.
Love that. Well, Hal, so this is usually a touchy question, but I like to ask it. How reliable are genetically enhanced EPDs when it comes to true production results and performance? And how much weight should producers give to those when they're making that selection for the bull?
Yeah, Austin, it's the EPDs and now genomically enhanced EPDs. And then if you combine that, we haven't really talked about indexes, but you know, the dollar type value indexes that combine a group of these EPDs and towards a common focus. You know, I get lots of questions and as you can well imagine, conversations around this very topic. At the end of the day, you know, as I think back over my career, and I can remember when EPDs first came out. I can remember when they first came out as a kid, you know, and there were a lot of guys that really struggled to understand how they worked. Honestly, yeah, I think you look back, and there was probably some manipulation of some of that data. Not at the association level, but perhaps, you know, when you're turning in that data, there was maybe some manipulation that gave us some wrong indications about where things were going. In the last, and especially since we now have genomics and one of the genetic tests, the basic genetic test I didn't even talk about is for parentage, right? We truly know who the parents are, without any dispute. There's really it's make it really simple. It's the greatest genetic improvement tool, EPDs, and then the following genomics behind them. It's the greatest selection in genetic improvement tool we've ever known. And we're changing genetics faster than ever as a result of that. If we were still relying on just eyeballs and actual data, such as just, turning in or just printing a weaning weight, printing a yearling weight, the environment has such a huge effect on those numbers. This brings it all back to a common base and allows us to make comparison. It's the greatest genetic tool we've got. Are there still folks out there who are really apprehensive, maybe don't understand it? Maybe they've had a bad experience somewhere along the way that they're still casting some doubts towards EPDs or genomics. Those folks are still out there without a doubt. But in today's world with technology, and it really becomes a very simple decision in my book. If you're coming here and you want me to help you buy bulls and buy better bulls, we're going to use something besides just our eyeball. Because I've got lots of good bulls that look really good. And they become a little more difficult for me to sort for a need unless we've got some sort of a breeding objective in mind as to what you need to accomplish.
So if you were to tell someone that is maybe not skeptical about genomically enhanced EPDs, but just doesn't understand the full value of them, how much more accurate and reliable are those? And what do producers need to know when it comes to the environmental factors that dictate production results? What's the linkage between production and genetics down that line? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think maybe kind of in two parts there to some extent, but by now, the one that's jumped out at me is maybe related to the accuracy or the understanding of what you can expect and kind of feeding in the environment factor as well. And so, to go back to like the base definition of EPDs, which is expected progeny difference, by definition, that is the difference you would expect for a given trait mated to the same set of cows under the same management or the same environment, right? So again, you think about a couple of different bulls, bull A and bull B. One is drastically better for weaning weight. The only way we truly validate his improvement is we have to mate bull A and bull B being the one that has more genetic propensity towards weaning heavier calves. You got to breed those bulls to the exact same herd in the exact same year and tease out that difference. Now we don't do that, but that is the only way those two bulls are comparable. It's to the same cows in the same environment. So I the environmental piece, I think it's more of a challenge and has been more of a challenge on the breeder side. So there are breeders who have bulls that, wean off in a much better nutrition environment than some of our other bulls. And so the breed associations and the genetic companies out there, they develop the tools to try and separate and make sure that those bulls are compared accurately. If you're raising a bull in South Missouri versus, East Colorado, the forage base, the nutritional levels, the weaning weights are probably going to be different inherently. But if we can separate those out, certainly things like creep feeding, maybe if we creep feed here and they don't somewhere else, those things have a big bearing, but they're accounted for in the genetic analysis of those animals. So rest assured that yeah, when you buy a bull that has higher levels of a certain trait, better levels, I should say, in a certain trait, and you breed that bull to the same cows that you've been breeding another bull to that has lower values, yeah, it should absolutely breed and come through and show those improvements for the traits that you're interested in. Environment always plays a role. You may look like a rock star if you get a good year and lots of rain, and if it doesn't, well, maybe the calves come into the weaning pen a little lighter, but that's a result of environment more so than the EPDs.
Yep, absolutely. I think the reality, and this isn't to condescend anyone or throw anyone under the bus, but I think a lot of times producers expect that an animal is going to produce the way that it's bred to, regardless of how they actually manage it. They just kind of want that end result. And I think that's where we see the separation is the management is what creates that result in the ideal scenario.
Exactly right. It's exactly right. Yeah, management is, it becomes, we can, you can have two separate producers who basically have the same genetics in their herds, and management is what makes all the difference, and how they manage forages and how they manage health, all of the things that are tied into improving the outcome is really what kind of starts making the real difference.
So I think you talked a little bit about this before, but with all of the genetic data that we have available, whether it's genetically enhanced EPDs or the other, color and breed, or sorry, color and horn pole testing, whatever it is, combining that with phenotype and combining that with actual performance production from the sire, from the dam, what you're trying to accomplish, a lot of stuff can dictate if you're making the right, if you're choosing the right bull or not. How do you recommend producers combine all that information from a phenotypical, a performance production side, and a genetic element to make those selection decisions?
It's hard to combine it all, but what I would recommend is think about them as kind of you identified in three pieces there: the phenotype, maybe the actual performance, and then the genetic or genomic kind of piece of EPDs, genomically enhanced EPDs, and throw an index in there as well. I guess I'll walk you through how I look at that. And, if I'm working with a bull customer who's interested in some bulls, the first thing I ask, like, what kind of bull do we need? What are your goals? What do you need? He says, calving these bull, I'm going to breed some heifers. But automatically, I've got a direction I'm headed when I start identifying bulls that he should be considering. He says, I'm looking for a bull. I don't keep any heifers. I'm thinking terminal and growth. Those are the directions. Now I have a whole different subset of bulls that I'm thinking about. So the way I weed through it, again, have a conversation, or at least I encourage folks who are in the bull market looking to buy bulls, think about what they're really looking for, and what they need, and effectively, go through a bull sale catalog and find those bulls that meet your needs from a genomics and genetic standpoint. And, some cases come visit for the folks who are raising those bulls and go through those bulls, go to the bull sale early so you have enough time to actually get through and look and evaluate the phenotype of those bulls, or call someone, work with someone whom you trust to evaluate those bulls and give you true, fair assessment of the phenotype, of the structure of the feet, of all of those things, to basically whittle down to a list of bulls that genetically meet your standards and what you're trying to do. Bulls are going to look the way you hopefully that they do, perhaps are as big or as small or whatever. So start basically whittling down. If you've got 100 bulls to sort through, you've got to work it down to a workable number, and try and find a shorter list of bulls to think about and get on your list of bulls to bid on. You got to be careful. Got to be careful. Don't whittle it down to just two or three if your budget's not very big. So we have that happen, and it they well they fall in love with a couple three bulls, but a lot of other people fall in love with those two or three bulls as well. So that makes it kind of a fun dynamic.
Whenever I was growing up, we always joked that, we always picked the best ones. Every single time we picked the best bull, the best cows, and they would go, double our budget. We're like, man, we got good taste, we just can't afford them.
That happens, that's for sure. I'm in kind of in that same camp a lot of times too. So yeah.
So to kind of open up another can of worms a little bit. Sometimes there's a bull that we see or that we look at before we actually see him. We're looking at the catalog. Numbers look great, genomics look great. We show up on site and he doesn't look great. What do you prioritize whenever you're selecting, and how do you make a decision when all the boxes don't check out?
Well, everybody's different on that visual appraisal, right? I mean, there's bulls that in certain individuals who will say, this bull's got the genetic pieces I like. And then I think they go out and they say, Is he stout enough? Yeah, he's stout enough. Is he good enough structured? Yeah, he's good enough structured. Is he short enough? Is he tall enough? Yeah, he's close enough, and that's okay. Now then we give other more discriminating folks that, yeah, I mean, they're going to go out and maybe find those bulls that are on their list and really sort through, is the bull, is he really stout enough? Is he pretty enough? Whatever it might be. At the end of the day, visual appraisal is really important, and I mean, I want folks to have bulls that they like to look at, right? I mean, it really, but the genetic side of it, that part of the equation, as we've already kind of mentioned, the final visual the look of that bull can be affected by the environment. Did that bull have a bad week last week before we saw him, or was he hurt on a foot? Was there something in this background here that didn't allow him to look as good the day that you evaluate him? I don't know, but I think you just have to develop a plan and have an idea of what you're really wanting to accomplish. And of course, quite frankly, budget, as we've already talked about, really plays a huge role. Those bulls that have really good genetics and who are really good looking bulls, a lot of guys find them, and a lot of times, depending on what your price point's at, they may or may not be in your budget. So it's important to realize that as well.
So what are some things that you recommend bull buyers avoid when they're evaluating a bull, either genetically or phenotypically, being that that's either a red flag or something that they just, because it doesn't line up with their goal and their plan? What are some of those things of, hey, just go ahead and stay away from this because it's not going to benefit you as you're examining that bull?
Yeah, I think that goes back to getting lost in the weeds. And there's been over the years a couple of guys, just I always think about and refer to, one guy that I spent an hour or two with going through bulls a week or so before the bull sale, and he had narrowed his choices down to two or three bulls. I give my two cents where it's at, and he asked me, who do you like the best out of those three or four bulls that he'd kind of identified? I said, well, I like, the lot 13 bull. I think he does absolutely everything that you need him to do. And phenotypically, I think he's the best bull out there of that group that you've identified. And the guy pulls out his sale catalog, and he's looking through the lot number there, and he's looking, and he said, well, he said, I really like that bull too. He's probably my pick. But he said, his ribeye area is just not big enough for me. His ribeye EPD is just not big enough for me. And I said, oh, okay. I said, well, tell me, I mean, have you been selling your cattle on the rail and getting carcass data back? Have you discovered that your calves and your steers are just don't have big enough ribeyes? And he said, well, no, that's not the problem. I said, do you know what they are? And he said, no. I said, well, you may not need more ribeye. This may not be an issue that you have to worry too much about. It essentially, I say all that to say, I think sometimes, yeah, finding those areas that may not be of importance and getting past them, that's the quickest, easiest way to kind of start narrowing down bulls that you need and trying to stay out of the ditches and areas that you don't need to waste time on. So I think, again, some of the indexes, the API TI through the Simmental Association, can help guys sort through some of that as well. API is that all-purpose index. TI is the terminal index. But then also using these genomic logos with Right Choice, G Plus. Basically, there's folks who really get confused about all of these numbers and start worrying about things that they shouldn't even be worrying about, to buy the bull that gets them in the direction they need to go. So, that's probably my biggest, I won't say issue, but I think that's something folks need to consider and not get so carried away about.
It's almost like, and even whenever you got all the information, you can prioritize what to look at. You see, like you said, 30 data points, and you're like, okay, all this must be important. Where do I start? Type of
Right.
scenario. And then
Right.
you just begin to kind of nitpick away at, well, this bull has that, and this bull doesn't have that, and forgetting the big picture whenever it comes to each individual animal.
When you have Honestly, when you have that many data points, it's hard for a bull to be exceptional in all of them. And he's going to have a hole somewhere. Just is. Just, unless, I mean, we have some that are, that top 20% of everything. And those are awesome ones to sell. But that's not all the bulls in the sale. I mean, there's various degrees of heifer bulls and growth bulls and carcass bulls and all those things, maternal type bulls. And finding those right directions and those paths is just really important. And maybe not getting so focused on, the bull's a 101 yearling weight versus a 103. Well, that's 2 pounds. You're never going to see that. Your environment will probably take, account for that little bit of a marginal difference. You'll never really see it. So try not to get lose focus there.
Absolutely. All right, last question. What's the biggest mistake that you see buyers make when they evaluate only the genetic data or only the phenotype?
That one swings both ways, right? If they only look at genetic data, it's a good question, all right? If they never look at a bull, there's a pretty good chance they might end up with a bull that I'm not going to say he's bad phenotypically. He may not be as good phenotypically. And that's you're basically buying a bull that's blind. Blindly buying a bull, then if you're not looking at the bulls and appraising the visual and phenotype of the bulls, if you're buying a bull and never looking at the data, you're going to have nice calves. I don't have any qualms, or you're not going to necessarily wreck your program, but truly making genetic progress is going to be a struggle, I think. You're just it's a coin flip. If you're buying the very best bull, does he phenotypically, if you're buying the very best bull, does he really have genetics that help your program or help your profit in the long term? If you're not looking at the data, you don't know. You just don't know. So
Very good point. Anything else that you think is relevant to selecting bulls or using all these technologies and tools or just making good sound buying decisions?
I think there is a ton of information. Obviously, reading and thinking about a lot of these data points and EPDs is important to have a good understanding and grasp. But I encourage folks to really just develop a consensus and an idea of the direction that they need to improve on, or they need to maintain at least, and make it as simple of a process as possible. Don't let bull buying become just an extremely stressful event, because bulls today genetically are better than they've ever been. If you're buying from a trusted source, hopefully the bulls are developed in a way that they're going to last and hold up for you. Hopefully your bull supplier is supplying you bulls that you like to look at the end of the day, and are creating calves that you like to look at and are going to be structurally correct, have some stoutness, whatever it is that you enjoy to look at in your cattle. I hope that you're able to accomplish that at least for sure too. So no, I think the only other thing I would say is, we see this pretty frequently. You come go to a bull sale and you're just not prepared. And some folks, that's fine. They're fine with that. But if you're really serious about, if you're going to take a Saturday or whatever day it is and go to a bull sale, just be prepared. Just I guess if you don't know something, find someone at the bull sale that can help you and help explain some things to you when it comes to EPDs or indexes or genetic tests. Be prepared in terms of the bulls you're really interested in, especially at these video sales, that are really pretty fast, pretty snappy. Because if you lose out on the first three or four bulls on your list and you really need a bull, it's a little tougher to make some of those decisions on the fly during the sale while the auctioneer is screaming and crying that sale. So being prepared is always good.